Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:30 p.m. on Friday, May 14th, 2021. In the room we have Representative Thompson, Representative Carpenter, Representative Lavon, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Josephson, Representative Wool, myself, Co-Chair Merrick, and we're being joined by Representative Fields. This afternoon we will consider amendments to House Bills 55 and 132. Starting with House Bill 55, Peace Officer Firefighter Retire Benefits by Representative Josephson. Amendments were due to my office on May 10th. There are two amendments before the committee. We have amendment number one by Representative Lavon. Representative Lavon, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move amendment number one.
I'll object for the purpose of discussion. Representative Lavon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment number one increases the employee contribution rate ceiling by 2 percentage points. That the new range for members of the new public safety defined benefit tier would be 8 to 12% instead of 8 to 10%. So it increases it from proposed 10% to 12%. Madam Chair, that raising the contribution rate ceiling provides an extra level of adjustment to ensure the plan remains fully funded and ensuring that risks are adequately spread between employers and employees. The current underfunded liability we have in PERS and TERS is support for this type of headroom, if you will, the ceiling to protect the program, a defined benefit program, long into the future. We've received reports that the likelihood of solvency is very high, and I appreciate that, and I'm happy to hear that. But if we look back over the history of the PERS and TERS retirement program, that's not always been the case. This legislature was forced with two prior governors ago to fund an additional $3 billion into the PERS and TERS, and there was an effort made this session to add another billion to the PERS system just to bring it into a funded condition. So I guess I'm just being aware that things happen into the future that we cannot predict. I hope it never comes to requiring or asking the participants, the employee participants of the of a defined benefit plan, should we enact that type of a retirement system, to have to increase their contribution range. But I just want to make sure that by placing a 12% ceiling now, that there is that flexibility, that headroom, if you will. So I encourage the committee to consider Amendment 1.
Thank you, Representative Lavon. I will remove my objection. Is there further objection?
Yes, thank you.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I had a good conversation with Representative Lavon about this issue today in particular, but also briefly previously. The data we have suggests, from two sources, suggests that this is wholly unnecessary. So the first source would be Flick Fornia, who represents the firefighters' interests. So he has that view. But he talked about his credentials. They're considerable. He's very well known in the country. He showed a PowerPoint slide which indicated that in all sorts of different scenarios, the plan was above 100% solvent. There was one scenario where it briefly dipped beneath 100%. But we need to remember that 80% is regarded as a reasonably solvent plan. 90% is superior. So this plan is superior plus. In addition, even Mr. Kirchner, who wears a different hat, he represents the state's interest, looking at a similar bill, Representative Copps, House Bill 79, said the bill was in the range of 99.7% solvent. The members have already made a concession to move from 8 to 10% in the event the Armed Board calls for that. The increments would be small. It wouldn't be a sudden jump from 8 to 10. And we think that's already a give on the part of the participant cohort, because note that their checks would literally be smaller. So that's a highly unusual thing, to come home to your husband or wife and say, yeah, this check is smaller this year, and you have to explain that because of an ARM board decision. So we just think that this is unnecessary, and that there are all these other triggers that would be implemented to help keep the plan solvent. And with that, I ask the committee to respectfully reject the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Let the record reflect, at 3:34 p.m., we were joined by Representative Edgman. Further questions regarding Amendment 1? Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I guess what Representative Josephson is saying is that it won't be needed because the plan is pretty solvent, and people from both sides sort of agree to that. I guess my question, well, A, is if it's not needed, does going up to 12 pose a threat if we're never going to have to go up to 12? Also, at what point, and maybe this is a question for the actuarial people, but at what point would you need to go to 10, and then consequently, what point would you need to go to 12? At what point would you go from 10 to 12? Because I know when you'd go, I don't know what it is, I guess it's at 8, and then it would go to up to 10, and is there another trigger point up to 12? And is that based on a performance, and how long of a sort of bad performance regime would you have to go through before you raise it up from 10 to 12?
It looks like we have Scott Young from Buck Consulting online. Mr. Young, if you could state your name, affiliation, and help Representative Wohl with his question, please.
Yeah, this is Scott Young from Buck. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Did you hear Representative Wohl's question?
I did not hear it all fully. There was a delay in the sound.
Okay, I'll have him repeat. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I guess my question is sort of a two-part question. Right now, the contribution from the employer is 8 and can go as high as 10% depending on the performance of the fund. And this is an amendment to raise that from the range from 8 to 12. Would that be a step? Would it go from 8 to 10 and then if certain results didn't happen, go from 10 to 12? Or would it be based on the performance of the fund? On what time period? And I guess I don't understand the full mechanics of when these triggers are kicked in to increase the employee contribution.
Sure. As we understand the provisions, we would look at the funded position of the plan each year, and if it fell below the threshold of 90%, then the ARM board would determine whether to apply any of the triggers to increase the 8% to some higher amount or to eliminate a COLA or any other impact. I don't think it's going to be an automatic from 8 right to 10 immediately or then from 10 to 12. Our understanding is that the ARM board would have the discretion based upon the current funding status, and there would be an analysis and a projection of expected future contributions to first make a decision on what trigger should be impacted and how much it should change.
Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And thank you for that answer. So basically, on an annual basis, the ARM board would evaluate the performance of the fund and then say, okay, we're at 8%. Maybe we need to go to 8.75 or 9.2 and so on. And this would just raise the ceiling on that. So if there was, I guess, multiple years of low performance, it could say, okay, we're at 10. We got to go to 10.25. I mean, these are the kind of increments we might be looking at.
That's correct. Every year we would do a reassessment of the funded status of the plan, and if it was below 90% or some other threshold the board wanted to be above, then they would evaluate how much to change any of those triggers. So an increase from 10 to 12 would just provide more flexibility if it was needed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Josephson, is your objection maintained?
It is, and could I make one other brief comment?
Yes, Representative Josephson.
I think another thing to consider is that the states that we're mirroring this plan off of don't have this sort of leap. And at some point, you get into recruitment considerations. So you'd have to tell the recruitee, you know, this could go from 8 to 12. And when it's very, very, very unlikely to happen, Over the span of that worker's career, I think that that's hurtful to the recruitment effort.
Thank you. Seeing nothing further, with the objection maintained, would the secretary please call the roll?
Madam Chair, if I may, closing statement.
My apologies, yep. Representative LeBron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess, I can't predict the future, but I can reflect upon the past. And I wish the past hadn't created such an underfunded liability for PERS and TERS. My motivation is not to punish future employees that would qualify under a defined benefit plan, but just to, in some modified manner, create a little bit of additional headroom to share the risk of underfunding, underperformance, someday in the future, and who knows when that might be, because once a defined benefit plan is put into place, it's generational. It is decades into the future. So we just have to have this additional headroom. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. My apologies for not looking at that.
Brief at ease.
House Finance back on the record. We have amendment number one before us. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Representative Carpenter.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative LeBron.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Merrick.
Yes.
Representative Wolf, sorry.
Yes.
And with a...
5 yeas, 4 nays.
And with a vote of 5 yeas and 4 nays, amendment number one has been adopted. Amendment number two by Representative Josephson. Do you have a motion?
I move amendment two.
I'll object for discussion.
Madam Co-Chair, I'd ask my aide to describe the amendment. What you'll hear is from her, I believe, that this is something requested by the administration.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Merrick and members of the committee, for the record, Elise Swornberg, staff to Representative Josephson. So this amendment came about, we had a couple lengthy conversations with the staff at Division of Retirement and Benefits as to clarifications they desired in the bill. And then we followed that up with some very lengthy conversations with Legislative Legal as to what Legislative Legal thought was already taken care of with how the bill is currently drafted. And what you have before you today is the result of all of those conversations. So the amendment in front of you does two things. The first thing it does is on page 12, lines 7 and 9, it changes... it adds the words in the system following service. So what that does has to do with vesting There was a current concern on the part of the division that if someone was fully vested in the PERS system currently, and say they had worked for 5.2 years, and when the actuarial analysis was done, they could only purchase 4.5 years of service, they would lose their vested status. So the request was that we insert this language to say that vesting depended on years in the PERS system. The second part of this amendment has to do with the time frame the division has to transfer money over from Tier 4 accounts to the new tier for those individuals who choose to buy in. They noted that they were in the middle of an IT modernization and their current workload is very heavy, so they asked for 60 days rather than 30 days to complete that task. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions regarding amendment number 2? Seeing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Seeing none, amendment number 2 has been adopted. Seeing no other amendments, is there any further discussion on House Bill 55? Seeing none, Mr. Co-Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 55, version 32-LS0098-B from committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Representative Carpenter. Okay. With there is an objection, will the secretary please call the roll?
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Lalonde.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Wool.
Yes.
Representative Carpenter. Representative Merrick.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
8 yeas, 1 nay.
And with a vote of 8 yeas and 1 nay, House Bill 55 has been moved from committee. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance back on the record. I'd like the record to reflect at 3:47 p.m. we were joined by Representative Johnson. Next is House Bill 132, School Apprenticeship Programs, Tax Credits, by the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Amendments were due to my office on May 10th, and there are three amendments before the committee. Amendment number one is from Representative Lebon. Representative Lebon, do you have a motion? Take a brief at ease. House Finance back on the record. Amendment number one by Representative Josephson. Representative Josephson, do you have a motion?
I move amendment one.
Object.
There's been an objection. Representative Josephson.
Yes. If members look at the version O and page four, the bottom of page four, this would make a correction. The bill drafter up in the Terry Miller building noted that the bill, as it's currently written, refers to an end of the employment period described in section C. And in fact, there wouldn't be an end of the employment period that makes sense in this context. So instead, this is essentially a technical fix, and we would insert date the taxpayer hires the registered apprentice.
Thank you. Representative Lebon.
I remove my objection.
Thank you. Further objection? Hearing none, Amendment 1 has been adopted. Amendment number 2 by Representative Lebon. Representative Lebon, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Amendment number 2.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Lebon.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And simply put, I'm trying to create parity, my word for the day, parity between possible beneficiaries of this program. Right now, there's a division between students and veterans, a $1,000 potential tax credit for an employer to hire a student versus $1,500 for that same employer to hire a veteran. Why not just make it $1,250, encourage employers to hire either students or veterans, and be done with it? So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I like this amendment. I was going to ask the bill sponsor last meeting, and I didn't get a chance. But if I'm an employer and I'm looking at two apprentices and I get a bigger tax break for hiring one, then I feel like the other one's at a disadvantage, and depending on how many slots are open. But I believe in this parity as well.
Representative Fields.
Zach Fields, House District 20. After listening to the discussion at the last meeting, I would agree that this amendment makes sense and support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? With that, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection? Seeing none, Amendment 2 has been adopted. Amendment 3 by Representative Thompson. Representative Thompson, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Amendment number 3.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Over the last 10, 11 years, we've had a lot of different bills that have came up. And United States Coast Guard had been left out of them, and we did put them in just to make sure that the Coast Guard was included. There is a letter attached to my amendment that's from Legal Services that said that the Coast Guard is a part of the armed forces. I just wanted to make sure I got this on record that we are including Coast Guard besides just the armed services.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. Further discussion on Amendment 3? Seeing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Seeing none, Amendment 3 has been adopted. Are there any further questions or discussion on House Bill 132? Seeing none, Mr. Co-Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 132, version 32-LS0476/0 from committee as amended. With individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 132 is moved from committee. With that, this concludes our agenda for the afternoon. Our next meeting is tomorrow at 10 a.m. where we will consider House Bill 111, Dental Hygienists Advanced Practice Permit by Representative Sponholz. With that, at 3:55 p.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.